Welcome to Smart Cleaning School. Are you ready to reshape your mindset and grow your cleaning business? Step into today's class with your guide, Ken Carfagno, so you can win for your family.
Welcome back to the Smart Cleaning School podcast. Oh, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait to share this episode called The Benevolent Benefactor. But before I get into the main topic, I'd like to take you inside of my personal Carfagno cleaning business for a glimpse, an update into what I've been up to over the past few weeks. So last week, in my local MCBA meeting, Eric Leyland of Reach Local, who I've talked about prior in the episode Don't Fight Google or Facebook, Fight for Lunch, Eric ran the business education segment for the MCBA meeting this past week, and he taught on the benefits of using Alignable for marketing. Personally, I have literally avoided Alignable. Every time I get a request, delete, 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 because I don't want any more social platforms to deal with. However, Eric gave some great points and tips that may have even persuaded me to look into it more. Thus, I wanted to share it with you. LinkedIn, he started with, is a business platform for business owners and professionals, employees, a lot of them. Alignable is also a professional business platform, but it's designed for small business owners locally, not nationally like LinkedIn. This perked my interest because that's what I am, and that's the type of people I'm speaking to on this podcast. The platform is already niche to local and small business owners, which makes it a natural marketing companion to in-person local networking. Alignable has niche groups that you can join also that gather people of like interest. Eric says he has gotten so much more business through Alignable versus LinkedIn because of the platform's ability to hyper niche. Eric explained that you can set up your profile with who you'd like to connect with. Well, that's pretty cool. Then Alignable takes your preferences and puts you in front of those people. Eric personally uses the premium Alignable version, which costs $30 per month. He chooses that over the free version because the free limits the number of people you can connect with. And being a digital marketer, he wants to connect with a lot of people. I thought Eric did a great job presenting Alignable, and it really intrigued me. So I wanted to present it out to you and just get you to put that in the back of your mind. Maybe it's another tool in your marketing arsenal. A few leads came in this week as well. The first was military-like. My friend James Hardy of the Carpet Guys was in an online group and saw a request for a house cleaner. He was in the process of typing in my name and website when something else caught his attention. The owner of a local cafe gave my name first. You know when you can see the three dots hovering when someone else is commenting? As he was typing my name, dot, 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 squiggly, squiggly, Ken Carfagno, I recommend him. James is like, what's up with that? And he saw the person that typed it. He said, wait, that's the owner of that really popular cafe down the road. So he, of course, finished typing my name. He reached out to me and said, Ken, there's an influential local businessman. His name is Steven Hunsberger. I'm thinking, I know Steven Hunsberger. I just had breakfast with him a few weeks ago and did a podcast on the topic we talked about at breakfast, which was get comfortable being uncomfortable. Of course I know Steven. He does know a lot of people. He's the president of the Indian Valley Chamber of Commerce, the one that I'm a member. So when James said I recommended you for house cleaning, I was thinking, well, why didn't Steven just ask me himself? But James's question wasn't that. He says, do you clean for that cafe? I replied back, no, but I do clean for the owners at their house. James was like, ah, I see. Steven emailed me with a message that was, sorry, I didn't think of you when I needed a house cleaner. Please accept my apology. Because he felt kind of dumb when he saw my name pop up a few times and he's thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't think to call Ken. But there's a reason why he didn't think to call Ken. There are some takeaways here. Let me explain them. First, I am so thankful that I was military style triangulated by multiple people and friends to recommend me, as they all knew each other. That is so cool. Another takeaway is that I have done a poor job, obviously, in communicating that I clean houses to Steven in all of our interactions, including our recent breakfast. Steven knew that I cleaned offices, but he had no idea that I did houses too. We talked on the phone and I answered all of his questions in hopes of educating him to the various options he had for hiring a house cleaning service. He was thrilled. He may hire me, he may not, but either way, he is now equipped on knowing who to hire, what to ask, and why. Another lead came in this past week, and it was from my wife's cousin, Abby. She's a manager of a local historical barn, which is used frequently for wedding venues. I did a proposal for Abby in the fall of 2020, and in my proposal, I took the role and positioned myself as the consultant. And in that proposal, I shared what needed to get done. I recommended how often and the level of detail, and gave prices for what I personally could do. But I recommended, because they were getting such a great price on the current cleaner, to stick with the current cleaner. And if you wanted to bring me in once in a while for some deep cleaning, I'd be glad to oblige. Abby got back to me this week and wanted me to open the wedding season with a spring cleaning. Many of you are in your hometown where family lives. I did not experience this in my first business. We were in upstate New York for 16 years, ran a cleaning company up there for close to 15, and I never had family around me. So family and people in the family asking me to clean for them never happened. My Philly business is quite different. I grew up here. My family, my friends, people I graduated high school, people know me. And it's really cool. It's really different. I have taken calls and have done estimates for family since I've been back in Philadelphia. Yes, it's been hard. It's been different. But here's what I've learned. You have to treat them exactly the same as any other customer. They will expect the family discount, perhaps. That's fine if you're new in business and you'd like to get traction, gain experience, get before and afters, and possibly a customer testimonial. But when you're in my position of optimizing, it doesn't matter who the clients are. I'm only looking for a certain quality of person, price, and schedule to fit into the goals that I have for my business. So Abby is my cousin, but she completely understands good business and professionalism when she sees it. She has a different mindset about working with family, not looking to get the discount. She wants quality and doesn't want family to have to save a buck. She wants family because she trusts family more than non-family. Trust is more important than price. And by the end of the week, Abby booked us for a $1,000 deep cleaning of the barn. Yay! To close this episode, and this is going to be so much fun, I need to give my private investigator's report on who paid for lunch clue. This all started with the podcast episode, Allow a Giver to Give. This was the first time that our Total Life Freedom Mastermind local Philly folks met up for lunch in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. There were five of us there in attendance, and my good friend and pastor, John Stange from DesireJesus.com, he paid for lunch. And in this podcast episode, I talked about how hard it was for me in previous times to let people buy stuff from me. I had what's called pride. And when you have pride about this, you don't want other people to pay for you. It's hard. And so I had to learn to allow a giver to give. That was the message. But in that podcast, I also stated, somehow, some way, I'm going to pay for the next TLF Philly meetup. And just as an aside, we were all so thankful and grateful that John paid for our meal. That just feels great when you have someone pay for you, especially once you learn how to accept the gift. Oh, it's awesome. I say now, I like having rich friends. because we fight over who gets to pay for lunch. And that was part of that first episode. At the time of publishing that first episode, Allow a Giver to Give, I had no idea that this game called Who Paid for Lunch Clue would gain the momentum that it has over the past few months. It has become so much fun trying to solve mysteries of who paid for lunch. As I give an update on the second episode that I shared and bring you into this one, which is the third part of the story, I want you to put yourself in the mindset of the movie Clue or the board game called Clue as well. Think in those terms, or Scotland Yard private investigators, for I will present to you the pieces on the game board and you will make your own choices as to whom or who paid for lunch. Going into the second part of this saga, the episode was called Don't Fight to Facebook or Google, Fight for Lunch. And when I walked into that restaurant determined to pay, here's what happened. And you can go back and listen to the full story on that episode. I called the waitress over, leaned in and said, "Hey, I'd like to take care of the bill. Could you put it on my credit card?" And she said, "Oh, that won't be necessary, sir. The order has already been taken care of." "Oh, no. Really? Okay, well, thank you very much." Soon after, John Shuckman, a.k.a. the loud guy, he got up and went to the bathroom. A likely story, John. He came back a little bit frustrated. I didn't know why. Why would you be frustrated from using the bathroom? Then at the end of the meal, the waitress came over and said this, "I have some good news. Someone called in and said to pay for the table with the guy with the hat." That guy with the hat is known as the loud guy who I just mentioned, John Shuckman. So who done it? Let's examine all of the evidence in this part three of this saga, The Benevolent Benefactor. Let's look at the game board and lay out the pieces. First, there's the pastor, a.k.a. John Stonge. He paid for the first lunch. I asked him quietly to allow me to pay for lunch number two before I asked the waitress. He agreed. He is the leading suspect from multiple players on the board. He denies emphatically. There was even a hypothesis that his wife, Andrea, was the silent partner and called in the payment ahead of time. I confronted John in a text, and he denied this false claim. John is also, as I said, a pastor and never lies. There's innocent Emily, a.k.a. Emily Bruner, the photographer. She booked the restaurant and had the easiest opportunity to pay ahead and blame it on the hat. None of us suspected her royal innocence until I cross-examined her on Facebook Messenger. Here is her reply. You be the judge. It truly wasn't me. I still think it was John Shuckman. I saw him take out his credit card before he left the table on the way to the quote-unquote restroom. I know he said that he tried to pay, and the hostess said it was already taken care of. But that only bit of evidence I have points to him. If it truly wasn't him, which he obviously is denying, then I think it has to be a benevolent benefactor. A likely story, Emily. All you've done here in the eyes of me, the private investigator, is deflected the question and pointed the finger to Shuckman. Or a benevolent benefactor that likes Shuckman's hat? Oh, come on. Your best guess is the loud guy or a benevolent benefactor? When I pressed further, she had this answer. It's a mystery, that's for sure. It could have been Desha. but it seems unlikely that her strategy would have been to sneak a payment in. Did we ask Brad if he paid? Now I know that the next time I make a reservation, I'll have to give them my credit card when I book the reservation. She held to her innocence and passed the blame to the newbie or the absentee. For one, Brad Imming was quarantining at home and had the ability. The third piece on the game board is the loud guy, aka John Schuckman, the realtor. He was wearing his Christian Illuminati hat and left the table conveniently after I asked the waitress to pay to use the restroom, quote unquote. After this pay-for-lunch clue incident, the loud guy and I chatted back and forth several times and have gotten nowhere. He fessed up in my interrogation. Yes, Ken, I was going to the restroom and I did use it. And yes, I brought my credit card with the intention of paying for lunch, but I didn't have the chance. Somebody beat me to it. And I don't know who that someone is. Maybe it's you, Ken. Oh, I see how it is, John. Once I start pressing, you point the finger right back at me. Is that alone an admission of guilt? ? He followed up with this. Ken, I swear it wasn't me. I'll even show you my stinking credit card statements to prove it. Interesting. John indeed had the intent and the ability, but claims he was thwarted of paying for lunch, exactly as I was that day. He may be loud, but looks like he's innocent, like Emily. Then there's the newbie, aka Desha Utsik, the life coach and photographer. Emily asserts it could have been Desha, and then recanted her story. She was the wild card in this game of who paid for lunch clue, as she was the newbie. She is a friend of John Stongy's, so I tried a different approach. Instead of asking Desha, I asked John. John, was it Desha? I came right out. I hit him right in the jugular with this question. John didn't flinch. He said, I know her, Ken, and this was her first TLF meetup in person. She had no idea what to expect, how many would be there, and more importantly, she knew nothing about taking the group tab. She didn't know about our game of Clue. I reluctantly agreed Desha, the newbie, was off the hook. Then there's the cleaner, aka Ken Carfagno. I have shared my side of the story this whole time, and you know I didn't pay, right? You do believe me, I hope. Why did the others, like the loud guy, still insist that it was me? Could it have been me? Or maybe my silent partner, Teresa? I know my wife didn't do it, but could she have called in? Nah, I've checked my credit card statements. It wasn't on there, all of them. My bank account, there was nothing there. And so right there, just like John Schuckman, the loud guy, proclaims, check my statements, Ken. Aha, of course, John, you'll send me the statements that you choose, not the credit card with the payment on it. Let's go back a minute to the piece on the game board, the loud guy. John, I've just exposed your error. I see. You would only show me the credit card statement, not all of them. Is that true? Because I'm ready and prepared to show my credit card statements from that day of infamy. You can see the pieces on the game board are heating up. These friends, these people that once showed up as usual suspects, they are starting to jab at each other, pointing fingers. Let's keep going. There's the absentee, aka Brad Imming, the digital marketer. This is a new angle that I did not cover in my last round of investigation. I messaged with Brad and wasn't very subtle about it. Was it you, Brad? He replied very defensively, it was not I. Is John denying it? Meaning the pastor? I skipped his redirect and pressed, do you have an alibi, Brad? His answer is chilling. Sure. I don't even know where you all ate or how to logistically pay when I'm not there. Remember? I was not there. Likely, he went on. John may be a pastor, but he was the culprit. The two meals I was at where the bill was paid. Oh, so John Stonge has paid bills before outside of TLF Philly meetup. Interesting. Back to Brad. So if he says it's not him, he needs to go to confessional, Pastor. Brad pleaded the fifth on the rest of my questions and then blamed 100% on our loving, generous pastor. Wait, did he say that John pays for meals all the time? Thanks, Brad. You're off the hook. The pastor? You're on again. The next piece on the game board? The Connector, a.k.a. Vincent Puglisi of Total Life Freedom. Vincent was in Florida, enjoying freedom with his family. He is the leader of TLF and very generous. He did know we were out to lunch and had the means to do it. However, when I pressed him for answers, he only said this, Ken, I wish it was me. Dang! With an answer like that from a generous man, I had to believe him. And then we've got the silent partner, a.k.a. Andrea Stonge, wife of John the pastor. When I pressed John, he held to his original assertion, it wasn't his wife. Well, my wife Teresa and I had dinner with the Stonges a few weeks ago. I had opportunity to ask directly and patiently wait my turn. John got up to use the restroom. Unlike Shuckman in the restaurant a month prior, he did not bring his credit card with him. And when he was gone at the restroom, his wife was exposed to a direct line of questioning. Where were you? On the night of, oh, just kidding, wrong question. Oh, sorry, just a little excited there. Andrea, we're trying to solve the mystery of who paid for our lunch. You've probably heard about it. Oh, yeah, I've listened to the podcast. Yeah. All of us have, our entire family. We think it's funny. Okay, you're trying to butter me up here. Back to business. We know it wasn't John, and he is starkly denying it, but others believe it could have been his silent partner. Andrea laughed at the notion of her calling ahead of her husband's dinner with friends to pay for them. Was the laugh a tell? I don't think so. I believe her. It wasn't John or Andrea. Oh, now enter the last piece on the game board, the waitress and the hat. Emily may have known the waitress just like Mr. Body knew the singing telegram girl in the movie Clue. Did Emily coordinate this with her? Emily's alibi is airtight, as she was sitting next to me the whole time. The waitress claims that somebody called in to pay for the table with the guy with the hat. What's up with the hat? The loud guy has the hat. And what was it? Well, it was a Christian Illuminati secret society hat. Actually, it was a men's group that John belonged to at church. So could another member of this secret underground Christian Illuminati hat-wearing society, could they have been there in this restaurant? Could they have seen John and fronted the bill? I see that. We need to pay for his entire table. Is this possible? Yes. But it's unlikely, as John lives over an hour away in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, home of the Amish, who don't use electricity or phones. How could a friend of John's use a phone to call in the payment or even have a credit card in the first place? This story is just unraveling. The private investigator work that I have been doing is going nowhere. I am three podcasts in and I still haven't solved who paid for lunch in our January TLF Philly meetup in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. You may ask Ken, okay, cut the drama. Just tell me who paid. I like the story. It's cute. But just tell me, who was it? I just want to know. I don't know. I have worked tirelessly. I have directly and cross-examined and interrogated many of the pieces on this board, and I have come no closer to an answer. I am stumped and must make only one conclusion, which brings us back to the title of this podcast episode and part three of Who Paid for Lunch Clue. It was the benevolent benefactor. And her name is Innocent Emily. Just kidding. Look, I have no clue. And you can quote me on that.
Thank you for listening to Smart Cleaning School. Class is dismissed.